Die groot trek saam Dopie en Nina. Weksdae tussen 3 en 6.
So hierdie band kort nie eers 'n introduction nie. Ons almal ken hulle. Jy het groot geword op dit. Daar's 'n goeie kans dat jou ouers besluit het om jou te maak op hierdie op hierdie musiek. Maar is Roxette saam met ons Per Gessle en hy is reg uit you in Stockholm.
I'm in Stockholm. It's getting nice and warm here. It's I guess almost 20 degrees outside.
Oh, nice. So a beautiful spring day.
Yeah, it is.
We could have said it's a June afternoon, but it's not yet.
Not yet.
Per, it is absolutely fantastic to be speaking to you. Thank you for taking time. Let's start from the top. I mean, Roxette and South Africa, I think it's one of those bands. You'll find a Roxette CD in every single South African household. From the greatest hits to the very first albums, you've absolutely blown up over here. Was this something that you expected back in the day, that you would have such a massive audience in South Africa?
No, not at all. I mean, first time we played South Africa was with the Crash Boom Bang tour in 95. I think it was very early January 95. And we played football stadiums. We didn't know. We were just like, what is this? What's going on here? But, you know, it was amazing shows. And every time we came back, we had a great time, you know, great crowds, positive energy, and people know the songs. You know, we're feeling lots of love from everyone. So it's I'm really looking forward to come back.
Yeah, we're looking forward to that. It's next year in February, right?
February, yep.
I know there's some crazy fans just here at the studio hiding underneath the desk just wanting to hear your voice live as we speak to you.
Oh, well.
So we talk about Roxette and where the band started. It was a bit of a crash, boom, bang in the start as well, until you and Marie found each other and decided to get together. Just quickly tell us the story, because you had a pretty successful solo career. Marie did her thing as well. And then it was a record executive who said, maybe you guys should collab. And that's where Roxette came about.
Yeah, you know, Marie and I met in the late 70s sharing rehearsal studios. We were in different bands at the time. And my band really took off quickly and became really big in Sweden. Marie's career took a little longer, since we were very good friends, and you know, we spent so many watching all those, you know, the Dynasty show or the Dallas shows together. We were, you know, spending so much time, you know, just fooling around, and so we said one of these days we're gonna do something together, and then of course, like I said, my career took off. I didn't have any time, but I wrote a song for another artist, and for some reason she didn't like it. This artist and a record guy at my EMI Records told me, translated this song into English and recorded with Marie, because that's the song you've always been talking about, the project with Marie you've always been talking about. So we did. It became a song called Never Ending Love, and it became the summer song of 1986 in Sweden. So that was the beginning of Roxette.
I think if girls didn't know who Roxette was, definitely after Pretty Woman, they knew. But it must have been Love was a Christmas song. But before it was played on the movie and you had to change the lyrics a little bit. Are you glad that you did?
Yeah. Yes, that was also funny. You know, we were in Los Angeles and a record executive guy asked me if I could write a song for this movie. And I didn't know anything about it. Julia Roberts was unheard of, you know, and Richard Gere was like a has-been, and it was a low budget thing, blah, blah, blah. And then he told me that David Bowie was on board. He had a song in there. And I said, well, I don't have any time, but we have a Christmas song, which is great. You know, it hasn't been released in the States at all. So I can work on that, rewrite the lyrics a bit. So I basically only changed Christmas Day into Winter's Day. and we did a new intro and sent it away to Los Angeles. And this amazing guy, Umberto Gattica, who worked with Michael Jackson, he mixed it. And out it went into the movie. Then the movie just exploded, and we didn't know anything, you know. We got a really great spot in the movie as well. People just loved that song, so we were really, really lucky. You have to be lucky sometimes.
Suddenly Richard Gere made a comeback. Everyone knew Julia Roberts was, and everyone sang along to it. Must have been Love.
Sure. It's the way it was.
Per, so you just mentioned you were working with guys who worked with Michael Jackson. You've shared stages across the world with some of the biggest artists. Have you ever been starstruck to share a stage with somebody specific? And what's been the coolest experience on stage?
Well, I haven't really shared stage with that many big artists, but I've met lots of artists. And I'm always really, especially in the early days, I remember meeting David Bowie in France, I was so terrified. I met Paul McCartney in New York. He was playing the Apollo Theater up in Harlem, and he was a nice guy. Over the years, of course, as you get older, all this sort of romantic side to pop and rock disappears a little bit. You realize that it's a job like anything else. But of course, when you meet people you looked up to your whole life, of course you get starstruck. I mean, it happens to everyone, I think.
Per, you have done so many albums, written incredible songs. I mean, there's so many singles. There's no way that you can even sing everybody's favorite in one concert. There's just too many. But what is your personal favorite song to perform at a concert?
Well, if it comes to myself singing, I love to play The Look. I think that's a great song, because it's a unique song. I mean, I've never ever managed to write anything like it ever since. You know, it's just a special song, and it's so much fun to sing, and it's so much fun to see the reaction from the crowd. But you know, there when it comes to all those songs that I wrote for Marie, you know, I always love hearing her singing "Crash Boom Bang." That's a great ballad, fits her so well. Or "Listen to Your Heart." It's a magic song. I'm just looking forward to the tour now, and I'm sure Lena will do her own interpretations of these songs. That's going to give you goosebumps.
But you mentioned The Look now. We don't get the opportunity to speak to bands that often in South Africa, unless they come and tour here. But just give us the backstory on The Look. Who was it about? Who was this girl? What was The Look?
I don't know. You know, that story is crazy as well. I bought a new synthesizer and I tried to learn how to program the synthesizer. And by doing that, I wrote a song. And I wrote a song. I was really into this ZZ Top style of, you know, this this sort of synthesizer stuff. So I programmed a song and suddenly this melody came up, and I just started writing these lyrics, walking like a man, hitting like a hammer. She's juvenile scam. Just to remind me how the rhythm should go. So I wrote down these lyrics, and they didn't make sense at all. But in the end of the day, I looked at what I had written down, and it sort of made sense. So I continued writing in the same style, which I called this is my I Am the Walrus style. You know, it doesn't really make sense, but it makes sense if you wanted to. So that song, and then I recorded it, just a simple demo, and I played it for Marie, and she just said, I wanted her to sing it. It was called "He's Got the Look" to begin with. But she said, I can't sing this. You have to sing this yourself. This is not my cup of tea. So I did it on my own. And I was, of course, so surprised that became the Roxette breakthrough song in the world, because it was sung by me. You know, the whole idea with Roxette was I'm writing songs, Marie singing the songs. You know, so that sort of put everything on the side. But, you know, it was amazing. And it still sounds like a hit record to me when you hear that song. You know, in my style of music anyway.
You've had a career spanning over decades. And you just mentioned, like, eventually it becomes a job. But how do you keep the magic alive? Or is it just as magical for you still walking onto the stage now as it was in the beginning?
Yeah, it is. I think it's even nicer now, because you're much more relaxed. The experience has made you more relaxed, so you enjoy being on stage, but much more, because you're much more relaxed, and you know what to do, and you've learned the craftsmanship of performing. When it comes to the writing side, I think it's I'm not the kind of writer, even though I release a lot of stuff and have many projects going on, I don't really write that much. You know, I only really write when I have a project going on and I have a purpose for writing. I have something on my mind that has to pop out for some reason. So I'm not the 9-to-5. I know a lot of other writers, they go to their office or to the studio and sit there 8 hours a day and trying to write. You know, I'm not like that at all. I always say I try to write as little as possible, you know, because it eventually it comes out anyway for me. So,
but you mentioning your writing now, I mean, you've done everything from ballads to heavier rock sounds. In 1994, we saw Crash Boom Bang drop, and that's where your style changed a little bit from earlier in the 90s or late 80s. It became a little bit more rocky. Why did you have that sudden change?
I don't think it was something we talked about. It's just that you change. You know, you change as a person, you change as a writer and a performer, and we start working with other engineers and other producers, and you know, so you change a bit, and even later on, you know, you started working a little bit more with you know, the digital things that happen in the world. You know, so your sound and your style transforms all the time. So that's the way it is. But you know, nowadays I've been doing so many projects where it's only digital, only synthesizers, and which means that the next project I'm doing is acoustic, because sometimes you get so tired of all this technology and you want to go back to the organic style again, you know. And that's also why I look forward to this tour, because I look forward to playing with a band. And, you know, on stage, everyone is like, you know, working together, getting this glue together. And it's such a special thing to do. So but it's because I'm old. I'm the analog kind of guy at heart, you know, but of course I have to adapt to what's going on in the world as well.
So you and Marie obviously shared the stage for so many years that I think it was just, you know, a natural thing, playing together, singing together, the way that you wrote music specially for her. Does it feel weird suddenly sharing the stage with Lena?
I don't think so. You know, I've been singing my Roxette songs without Marie for many years now in different situations. So, you know, every time you go on stage and every time you play a song, it you start the ball rolling once more, you know. It's a new experience every time. The song changes a bit, so I don't think it's but I don't know, but I don't think so. I think my relationship with Lena now and the whole Roxette group, it's going to be a unique one. So I think we have to focus on that one instead of looking back.
Well, Per, we can't wait to see you guys in South Africa next year and sing along and dance along to the songs that we grew up with and are still playing on, still heavy rotation on radio. We love Roxette in South Africa.
Nice. Thank you very much.
So thank you for taking time to chat to us today. And yeah, please pop into the studio when you guys are in SA.
Will do. Thank you.
Thanks, Per. Cheers. Nice meeting you. Groot FM 90.5.